Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome once again to another episode of Pneumaticops. This morning, our topic is titled A Prayer Prescription. Prayer is one of the most significant activities for the believing life. Prayer has a very central and important place within the documents of the Old Testament and the New Testament. Prayer is indeed a vast topic. And so this morning, I want to go to some specific scriptures that teach the importance of prayer, which we're going to define as communion with God or speaking to God, either silently within one's heart or orally, as the case may be. But prayer is about that relationship one has with God. And so we're going to begin reading this morning in Luke chapter 18, verses 1 through 8. And he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint, saying, there was in a city a judge which feared not God, neither regarded man. And there was a widow in that city. And she came to him, saying, avenge me of mine adversary. And he would not for a while. But afterward he said to within himself, though I fear not God nor regard man. Let me remind you that the Jesus is speaking of this parable. Yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she wearied me. And the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge saith. That is, understand what is being said here. And shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? Now, a parable has been defined as a heavenly story, and it is used in a way in which earthly topics are given a heavenly significance. And so here in this particular parable, beginning at verse 1, the ace says that man ought always to pray. That is, to bring their petitions before God and not to faint. So here in the Greek text, this word faint carries the idea of faint-heartedness or even cowardice. Prayer is a mighty weapon that has been given to the believing one. Never underestimate the power of prayer. Saying, verse 2, there was in a city a judge which feared not God, neither regarded man. He didn't care about anyone. But in verse 3, there was a widow, and she had a deficiency in her life, and she wanted it to be made right. And she came to that judge, and she said, very pointedly, avenge me of my adversary, that is, my opponent in a lawsuit. Take care of this, judge. And there was something about her manner that insisted upon the judge's attention. And this judge knew within his heart that she was not going to let this go. She was not going to release him until she had received what she had earnestly asked to receive from him. And so the judge, with his experience, noted this in her manner. And notice what he says. Verse 4, and he would not for a while. He was dismissive. He put it off. He wasn't going to attend to it. But then the judge began to think. And he said to himself, though I fear not God nor regard man, yet because this particular widow, she was feisty, and she wanted something done on her behalf, she was not going to let it go. Yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming. Now notice her activity. Lest by her continual coming, she weary me. And the Greek text is very interesting, because the judge said, lest she hit me under the eye. And the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge saith. So there's a very important message here that God wants us to get. That is, we go back to verse 1. Men ought always to pray and not to faint. Prayer places us in a strategic position with God. In prayer, we have told God of our need. And we do so with expectancy, or with a positive assurance that God will answer. And so prayer is vital for our spiritual well-being. Notice, verse 5, lest by her continual coming, she weary me. There must be persistence. There must be decisiveness about one's action. One must decide through prayer that one is not going to give up, but one will stay the course and continually bring his or her request before God. Now the Lord says, hear what the unjust judge saith. Verse 7, and shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, You see, God knows what is going on in the hearts of his own. Excuse me. God understands and knows that his own cry day and night unto him out of various needs. And so God is here encouraging his own to pray, to be persistent, to bring that problem, that situation, those circumstances, bring those before God without ceasing. Now, he goes on in verse 8 and says, I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. God may not get to my situation during my time, but God is always on time. God is faithful. God never fails. In 1 Thessalonians 5:17, Paul wrote, pray without ceasing. Again, the very words that the Jesus himself taught. Pray without ceasing. 1 Thessalonians 5:17. In the Greek text, there are only two words. But note carefully, here we read, pray without ceasing. That is, never stop. And so the writer wants to impress upon this particular community, that is, the believers in Thessalonica, a particular attitude toward prayer. Now, these believers had been under attack from false doctrine with regard to the second coming of Christ. They had been under attack because of their faith, because they had turned, or we read, they had turned from idols to serve the living and true God. Paul wrote in chapter 1 that they had received the Lord and his word in much affliction, but accompanied with joy of the Holy Spirit. That is, their lives, in spite of their intense persecution, were filled with joy. Joy in the Holy Spirit. And so in order to aid or come alongside these believers, they were given the prayer prescription, pray without ceasing. In order to give them the reassurance that God understood their plight. When one prays, there is that release of a burden upon the spirit that is given over to God. When one prays, there is that understanding because one has had a relationship with him over time, that God has not brought me to, not to bring me through. In other words, God doesn't bring us to a situation in which he has not also provided a way of escape or the solution to my dilemma. God is faithful. God wants his own to come before him in prayer. We have, beloved, a great high priest who is now in heaven on our behalf. When the Jesus left the earth, as far as taking care of sin, he sat down at the right hand of the Majesty on high. But now, as far as our lives are concerned, while we are still here, he is our great high priest. When John saw him in Revelation chapter 1, the Jesus was dressed in his high priestly garments, ministering on behalf of his church and inspecting his church as well. See, one of the doctrines that has been lost is the inspection ministry of Christ. He not only hears the prayers of his church, but he inspects believers. He inspects our lives. He inspects our faith. He closely looks at our behavior. And note what John, how John described him in Revelation 1. His eyes were as a flame of fire. See, there is nothing, no argument that we can ever fashion that would convince God of something less than the truth. Therefore, we must store up in our hearts, within our hearts, the word of God. Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. And see, beloved, when we keep short accounts with God with regard to our own sin, then we can have an effective prayer life. See, no one is going to have an effective and powerful prayer life if there is sin in the heart, if there is unconfessed sin. Sin is a barrier. And according to 1 John 1:9, it states, if we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Confess there, the word is in the Greek homologeo, and it means to agree with God that one has sinned, because God already knows. And so the life must be clean, the heart must be right, in order for our prayers to have power. And this is what God requests of his own. I'm going to turn now to James chapter 5. And I'm going to be reading at verse 13. Is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. Is any merry? Let him sing psalms. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him or upon him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if he have committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. Confess your faults, that is, literally your sins, one to another, not faults, and pray for one another, that you may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man or individual availeth much. Elijah was a man subject to like passions as we are, and he prayed earnestly that it might not rain, and it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. Brethren, if any of you do err from the truth, and one convert him, let him know that he which converteth the sinner from the error of his way shall save a soul from death and shall hide a multitude of sins. There have been many studies, quite good studies, quite believable studies on prayer. It is interesting, in these studies, the researchers found that prayer created a state of well-being within the hearts of individuals. And not only that, these individuals had hope, and they received peace about themselves and their circumstances. Now, some have tried to say that God is merely a projection of the mind. It's interesting to discuss the epistemology of such a claim. But be that as it may, prayer is real. And persons who pray know that the activity of prayer puts them in contact with God, not a higher power, but with the living God. So prayer changes things, prayer changes people, prayer changes circumstances. Notice very carefully the words of James. Is any among you afflicted? Interesting word. It means having it bad. Just having it bad. See, the first century church was composed of real people with real problems who lived in a real culture and had everyday problems similar to our own. So if is any among you having it bad, let him pray. Very important formula. Very important to see the connection. That if one is having it bad, take it to God. Is any merry, let him sing psalms. Is any sick among you, that is, lacking strength or powerless, sick, let him call for the elders of the church, that is, the ancient ones, and let them pray over him with oil, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And you and I know that oil is symbolic of the presence of the Spirit, symbolic of the presence of the Holy Spirit of God. Verse 15, and the prayer of faith, that literally is the petition of faith. Notice the words, how the writer has skillfully brought together prayer and faith. And Hebrews 11, we're told, without faith, it is impossible to please him, that is, God. Prayer of faith. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick. And here again, sick refers to one who is weary of mind, or to be weary from constant work. That is, this person is having it bad spiritually. He or she has lost his or her balance. And so this person has probably been unable or has not kept up his or her spiritual discipline. See, I cannot put off studying the Word of God for a day or two. I cannot put off reading the Word of God for 2 or 3 days. I begin to change within because the Word of God brings me into contact with God. You, I'm sure, have experienced the way things will come into your life and eat up that time that you need to spend with God. You see, that time away with God and studying the Scriptures is vital. And when you have the Word of God going on in your life in a powerful way, just think about what that will do to your prayers, how different your prayers would be. I'm sure you have experienced this. So stay in the Word of God. Stay in the Word of God. And this ministers to your spirit. The Word of God ministers to your spirit. The Word of God builds you up and stabilizes your soul. And as when it's stabilized within, then prayers become more powerful and precise. They can become a formidable weapon. And I use that word because of what Paul wrote in Ephesians 6 about the believer's armor. And he said, above all, he says, Paul talks about prayer, the importance of prayer for the believer, because we face intense spiritual conflict, and we need the armor of God, and we need a vital prayer life to accompany us, to keep us. And so the writer goes on here in James chapter 5, he says, and the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. Notice, the Lord shall raise him up. Raise him up. The terminology has to do with the ecclesia, that is, the called out one. The terms are skillfully put in place so that they will bring before the mind of the believing one who he is and whose he is. And if he has committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. See, a believer can have it bad if he has unconfessed sin going on. God wants us to have lives that are clean, lives that are sanctified, lives that are fit for the Master's use, so that our prayers would be effective. This is God's prayer prescription. Confess your faults one to another and pray for one another that you may be healed. Important word here, heal, means to restore to bodily health in this context and also to heal spiritually. Prayer, as given to us within the Scriptures, are a formidable weapon used in the lives of the called out ones. One can learn to use prayer skillfully, effectively, for very powerful results. Beloved, if you are suffering today, then please find a godly individual to pray with you and for you so that you might experience spiritual deliverance. Your host, Dr. Josiah Ridge, I will meet with you next time on the Matter Cost.